The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Good morning, Anthony. I do apologize that we're coming to you late. How are you?
Okay, Tov. Yeah, let's start with a little snippet that's kind of completely unrelated to things that are going on the ground here. And this is a little story about an Israeli racing car driver, Robert Schwarzman, was born in Tel Aviv. He was raised in Russia, but he does race under the Israeli flag. And for those who are eager motor racing fans, they'll know that the Indy 500 is coming up over the weekend. And Robert Schwarzman has qualified in pole position for the Indy 500, the very first time that any Israeli racing driver has participated in the Indy 500. And he will be starting on Sunday from pole position in Indianapolis. So that's a slightly surprising story that I came across, and I thought that listeners might be interested. I also want to address the story of Ehud Olmert and the comments that he made to the BBC when he said that Israel is acting in a way that is almost like war crimes. Now, Ehud Olmert is a former prime minister. He also has a slightly checkered history, having served some time in prison for indiscretions that he committed when he was mayor of Jerusalem. So he's a person who has risen to the top of Israeli society, and he has a certain standing. He's been in the top jobs. He knows how things work. So one would imagine that comments that he makes about things that the army is doing or not doing would have some strength and some bearing, even though he's subsequently been through a slightly difficult time. And of course, his comments to the BBC, I think, are extremely damaging. Even if he honestly believes, that Israel is almost committing war crimes in Gaza, I think that there is nothing that could be further from the truth. And it's unclear to me why he seems to be pursuing this line, what axe he has to grind, whether he has some sort of political agenda that he's trying to follow, or trying to make a statement about the existing government potentially, or about senior ranks in the army. But I think that we, even though it sounds like this is something that could be believed, and I have little doubt that our enemies will pounce on it right away and say, guys, this is a former prime minister, he must know what he's talking about.
Well, it gives him opportunity to quote something other than Haaretz. Now all of a sudden they can quote Haaretz, Sheva, and Times of Israel.
And not only that, but of course Ehud Olmert comes from the very right wing of Israeli politics.
Yeah.
And so it almost sounds credible. And I'd like to just warn listeners again that when you hear things like that, even though it might sound like it's coming from a credible source, one really needs to check out exactly what it lies behind these comments. I have heard first-hand stories from soldiers who have served in Gaza about the way in which the battle is treated, the way in which the Israeli army is acting as an entity. We can't necessarily speak on behalf of each individual soldier, because there are clearly some soldiers who do not act according to the rules, and those soldiers are brought to account very quickly indeed. But as an entity, the Israeli army is doing more than what is physically possible to protect the lives of innocent civilians who don't belong in the battle. I mentioned a few times during the course of this week about the amount of the number of people who've been asked to leave certain areas, evacuated from particular areas to allow the IDF to go in there. At times, these evacuation orders are issued at the expense of surprise attacks, at the expense of a proper military operation that would be mounted in a very different way if there was another army acting there. Because according to military doctrines, you shouldn't send a warning by asking civilians to evacuate before you carry out an attack, and even a surprise attack against your enemy. Of course, our enemy has chosen to embed itself within civilian areas, with the tunnels and the operations all being conducted from within civilian areas. And I noticed that there was a very heart-wrenching Sky News story about doctors in Gaza and what they're experiencing in these hospitals. Sky News just forgot to mention that Hamas is using those hospitals to conduct terror activities and to conduct military operations. So, of course, those doctors will see some very, very severe responses by the Israeli army, because those are considered to be military operation areas, even though they also double up as hospitals. So I very much regret the comments that were made by Ehud Olmert, and I hope that in the fullness of time we will begin to understand a little bit more of the context of those comments. But I don't think that anybody should be misled to believe that Israel is approaching anything which even resembles war crimes in Gaza. This is all about taking out Hamas and all about releasing our hostages, and nothing more than that.
Anthony, can I just please express some frustration that I'm feeling, and probably a lot of people who know, right? So, you know, I look at Israeli media, as we do, and yesterday one of their lead stories was Donald Trump's reaction to Joe Biden. Very little about the fact that ballistic missiles have been fired into Israel by Yemen almost every single day. Why? Why are they not broadcasting this? Because people don't know. And if we're not telling the story, then who is? The reason that I know is because I have the app on my phone, and I see that 8 million people are sent to their bomb shelters.
Well, I think that the Israeli media probably felt a little bit, or feels a little bit, like I felt this morning when I started the story about the racing driver, Robert Schwarzman, because we want to talk about something else in order to kind of try to lighten this burden that we're carrying a little bit, to try to somehow decrease the weight that we seem to be carrying. It's been 19 months, almost 20 months of constant war, of death and destruction, and stories coming out of the tunnels in Gaza. We heard another interview from Yarden Bibas, who gave an interview to an Israeli TV station about what he experienced, and the fact that he met Yehiyahu Sinwar and actually asked him personally whether he could be kept hostage with his best friend, David Cuneo. The two of them grew up together. They were in first grade together, and he asked Sinwar if he could be kept together with him because they were good friends, and Sinwar said yes, no problem. And of course they were not kept together, and so these are the kind of stories that we're having to deal with on a day-to-day basis. And sometimes we just somehow need to talk about something else. We just need to address something else. We need to bring attention to something else, because there is another world out there which is beyond this war and beyond our hostages and beyond the burden that we are bearing at the moment of trying to get through this very, very difficult period in history, and a very difficult period of time where we all feel under a dark cloud, because our hostages are not being released, and because we're sending young men to Gaza, some of whom are being killed and injured. I suppose that the Israeli press also is looking for a slightly lighter story to try to carry. And it has consequences. It has a price that we need to pay, which is that the real stories are not being brought not only to the Israeli public, but potentially also to the broader public around the world. And I completely feel your frustration. I think you also have to think about how we are looking for silver linings everywhere to try to think of something else and to somehow try to distract our attention from the very harsh reality that we're facing right now.
Yeah, I get that. But then we shouldn't be surprised that world media follows a very specific narrative. If the people inside Israel aren't reporting what's actually happening, then
I think there are two sides to the world media narrative, Kathy. I think on the one hand, we can say, well, if the world media don't report about the missiles, the ballistic missiles from Yemen, because the Israeli media haven't really been reporting about it, that's one thing. Yeah. I think there is an entirely different argument when world media is reporting about certain things, but they are taking a line. And I use my story that was carried in Sky News about the hospitals in Gaza as a great example, because it's all fine and well to bring the views of the doctors in those hospitals and how they're suffering and how they're having one pre-packed meal every day and how difficult the medical conditions are. That's all valid and fine. And you know, we all want to read about that, certainly. But you need to also mention, put it into context. You need to mention the fact that there are terror activities being conducted from that very hospital. And that's why the IDF cleared those doctors out and people had to evacuate very quickly, which was a heart-wrenching part of the story, but didn't really carry the full element of exactly what's going on. And for example, you know, there is a lot of discussion about humanitarian aid and whether Israel is introducing humanitarian aid. And yesterday, 93 trucks full of humanitarian aid were released by the United Nations into Gaza. And lo and behold, within no time at all, 10 of those trucks had been stolen, taken away by Hamas for them to keep the humanitarian aid. So when the story comes out saying 14,000 babies are going to die within 48 hours, which of course is a complete inaccuracy. I mean, it couldn't get more severe than that. When that story comes out, they forget to mention that 93 trucks of humanitarian aid were introduced and 10 of them were stolen by Hamas. And by the way, whatever happened to advocating for humanitarian aid for our hostages in Gaza? Nobody seems to be talking about that. Where is that discussion?
100%.
So my argument is that it's all fine and well not to report on things. But if you are going to report on things, present the facts as they are, present all sides of the story. So I guess that's what we can talk about today. Our time's already up and there's still a lot more to talk about. But of course, we will continue these discussions over the days and the coming weeks.